Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Wars. You're here with I Need No Name, and you're here with Samrin. And this is our flagship show to discuss more Bayern Munich things. But first, Ian, how are you doing?
Not that great, actually. I don't know if it's coming across on the recording or not, but I have a bit of a cold and a little bit of a headache recording this, but it could be worse, I guess.
That doesn't sound too great. Let's hope Tuchel doesn't add to your headaches. Oh, speaking of, you know, Thomas Tuchel, who gives me a bit of a stomachache every time that I bring up his name, I can't lie, makes me anxious about his team selections. But let me go to you. We heard your thoughts on that first Arsenal, on the first leg of that Arsenal tie, and there's just been endless injuries since. So actually, let's talk about those injuries. So Serge Gnabry, we know, is going to be out. He got injured in the game against Arsenal. Kingsley Coman got injured yesterday. Leroy Sané was never properly fit to begin with, but should make this one. Alex Pavlovich is back, which is a good thing. I think Jamal Musiala should be good to go, but there's basically a lot of problems with those three behind Harry Kane. But in how do you see the second leg play out? What do you think Thomas Tuchel will do tactically? Hard to predict, but what do you think?
Tactically, there are two things that I have in my head right now. What I want to see and what Thomas Tuchel will probably do. And surprise, surprise, they're not exactly very compatible with each other. What I want to see is a standard 4-2-3-1, Pavlovic back in the side, Thomas Muller back in the side, probably Musiala and Sané on the wings, and the rest of the lineup almost chooses itself. And with a lineup like that, I think we could take the game to Arsenal at the Allianz Arena, and maybe even win. Now, even with that, my caveat is that I do not have high hopes for this game. Now, prefacing this by saying I'm one of the most pessimistic people on earth, especially when it comes to Bayern Munich, so I'm going to say that I give us a 20% chance of going through, which is, I know it's going to, people are going to say that's way too low, that's way lower than what the bookies give. I think the bookies even give a slight edge to Bayern Munich, but after watching this team throughout the year, I can't in good conscience say that I am confident that Bayern Munich will win. I hope they win, but it's bad to have hope at this point. At this stage against Lazio, I had zero hope, which was easier. You know, after our first leg performance, I do have some hope of beating Arsenal, which is very dangerous. I feel like I'm just setting myself to get hurt.
Oh, and I can almost feel your emotional pain coming through, but I don't, you know what? I don't actually think 20% is low, because it's not like we haven't seen the story play out before. I have seen Bayern play really good first away legs and then get bashed at home or see things go wrong at home. Just to name a couple, Liverpool is the most recent one in memory. I mean, that Liverpool team was absolutely brilliant. Not dissimilar from Arsenal in a way, although that Liverpool team made further runs in the domestic cups. And Kovac came away with a 0-0 in the first leg, brought it back to Munich. Bayern lost 3-1. Real Madrid, 2014, Bayern lost the first leg 1-0, took it back to Munich and got bashed in Munich 4-0. I'll go even further back. 2007, I think this was, 2-2 against AC Milan in the San Siro first leg. Lost 2-0 at home in the second leg. And that was a quarterfinal tie as well, actually. So this wouldn't be surprising for Bayern to lose the second leg. I am a little more optimistic after seeing that first leg, not necessarily because we saw We saw vintage Bayern Munich and whatnot, but because we saw that there are weaknesses in Arsenal that not enough Premier League teams exploit. Just seeing that gives me more hope for Bayern because I watch Arsenal regularly and I did not see those weaknesses being brought out the way that Bayern brought them out. But they could also have come down to nerves and just, the big Champions League tie, the big name, the lights and all that. I do want to ask you in. Let's talk about how you see Tuchel play this game out. And yeah, we'll focus with that. Focus on that first, and then we'll go to how you would like to see it out.
Okay, so the way I see Tuchel doing it is that he's going to go ultra conservative, which means he's gonna put out a lineup where Alphonso Davies is replaced by Nusair Mazraoui. We have Leon Goretzka and Konrad Laimer in the middle, which is a midfield pairing that before last week I would have said is the worst midfield pairing I've ever seen at Bayern Munich in my entire time supporting the club, but they did manage to redeem themselves, so all hope is not lost. That being said, I don't know if they have another good performance in them. I cannot even believe that performance that they put up there. So who knows? Then in the front line, assuming that Sané is fit, I can honestly see Tuchel go with a setup that has Harry Kane up top and you know who, Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting next to him. And then he's going to say, "Hey, Harry, do your thing. You go in the attacking midfield spot and you try and create for the people around you," which would be Musiala, Choupo, and Sané. The reason I say this is because, well, that is basically the role that Kane played in the first leg. He mostly occupied deeper positions in that game. So seeing how he played in that game, I feel like Tuchel might get it in his head. Okay, maybe that's the way Kane should be playing against Arsenal. Maybe that's the way we should let him play. And therefore, he would put in a true striker like Choupo at the top instead of someone like, you know who, Thomas Muller, who should be the guy in the middle and should have been the guy in the middle in the first leg as well. It's very pessimistic, I guess, because I know that if we start Choupo in that tie, it's not going to end well for us. It's like, I feel like we have a minuscule advantage over Arsenal because it's going to be at the Allianz Arena, and Champions League nights at the Allianz Arena, the atmosphere just blows anything that Arsenal have experienced in the Premier League out of the water. Like, to begin with, English atmospheres do not compare to German ones, and now Arsenal will be coming to the Allianz Arena, which, while people deride it, I keep saying this, while people deride the Allianz Arena as a lot less intense than other Bundesliga stadiums, you are comparing it to Bundesliga stadiums. When you compare it to the other top teams across Europe, the Allianz Arena is a cauldron. And I have been there on a Champions League night. I literally could not hear myself think the stadium is that loud and that intense. That is the intensity that those Arsenal players are going to be bombarded with. Maybe it's a little bit too much pressure on our 12th man to get it over the line for us, given the state of the team right now, but I think that a lot of this game is going to come down to intangibles and how the teams perform on the night because, well, it feels like the coaches have more or less done what they can, or in Tuchel's case, what he is capable of. And anything else extra will have to come from those few inches or yards the players can gain on the pitch through their own performance. That is my reading of this game at this stage. No more tactical analysis. It's all about, to use the old cliche, it's all about who wants it more.
I've heard this said about the Allianz Arena as well about Champions League nights, that the Allianz Arena feels like a different place on Champions League nights. The atmosphere is different compared to Bundesliga games. And you saw it even with Man City when they came last year.
Yes, last
Yeah.
year. Oh boy.
Yeah, just the
The,
looks
and
on
and
their
the delayed the
faces.
delayed kickoff was really quite something. That they knew something was going on. And I'm telling you, the stadium, when it's going like that, when the chants are going from one end to the other, you feel it. You feel it in your body. It makes your heart do something, okay? Like, the Arsenal players are not going to be used to that. But then again, some of the Bayern players might not be used to that at the moment as well, because it's not like the Allianz
That's
Arena
true.
has had much to cheer about recently. But yeah, we're going to have to put all our eggs in that basket. And you can hear it from Thomas Muller before the game. He says that we expect a good atmosphere at the stadium on Wednesday because we really do need it. We really, really do need the fans to show up. And in terms of fans, I mean the Ultras, because the Ultras were completely absent from the first leg, and you saw that the team could still put up a performance without them. Now imagine what Arsenal will do against the full might of Bayern Munich fan support.
I almost think not having the fans give the Bayern players an additional, like, yeah, sure, an additional motivation, additional impetus to
Yeah.
go do well, you know, just that anger
Yeah,
stemming
I
from the
feel
fan.
like this team, the more it's backed into a corner, the more it's able to rebound, you know? The closer it gets to the edge, the better it is at fighting back from that edge, like we saw against Lazio. As soon as they were on the verge of elimination, they found it in them to actually come back and actually play well against a team like Lazio, who really should not have given them any trouble in the to begin with. Now, Arsenal are a different case. They're much better than Lazio. They're probably one of the best teams in Europe this season. So maybe it comes down to some of the mentality issues that people, not me, have talked about in this team recently. But I feel like if Bayern Munich have that in them, that if they have the dog in them, you know, then they might. But the problem is, it's all about Tuchel, and what's he gonna choose? What kind of setup is he gonna choose? And is he going to bench Thomas Muller? This is the most important thing for me. You do not bench Thomas Muller in a Champions League knockout. Just don't. He is this club's top scorer in Champions League knockout games, even after the Lewandowski era. Like, what are you doing if you put him off the, like, if you're not having him on the pitch in a game against a team like Arsenal, where he could do so much damage? Like, what is even going on? Joshua Kimmich said in the prelude to this game, like this upcoming game, that he expects Bayern to have a lot of opportunities to counterattack, and he expects Arsenal to have a lot of possession. Well, who is the guy who is going to launch those counterattacks? It has to be someone like Muller, someone who can really see the way the game is evolving and make the right pass and the right timed release and the right runs to make those counterattacks happen. And that is what we missed sorely against Man City last year. It's crazy to me that Tuchel could make the same mistake three times in a row. Surely he's not going to do it the fourth time, right? Surely.
Oh, he will.
Especially
He will.
when he almost has no choice. The other choice is Choupo-Moting. Like, benching Muller is one thing. Benching Muller for Choupo-Moting is quite another.
Okay, so let me remind you, this has happened this season, and his
It is.
explanation
It
was,
not only not
yeah.
only did it not only did it happen this season, he benched not only Muller in that game, he benched Musiala too, as far as I
Musiala.
remember.
Yeah,
Which was
he did.
even like that baffled even the people who don't like Thomas Muller, which is just like, for once, we are all singing the same tune. Why is Choupo on the pitch? And his explanation, as we all remember,
Headers,
headers.
yes.
He can win headers and corners, and we did not, I swear, we did not even score from a header in that game. Which game was it? I can't
It
exactly
was
remember. Was it Cologne
the
or something? I don't know.
yeah, 1-0 over
Was it
Cologne, the
Cologne?
boring
Oh my
one.
God, the last time or
Yeah.
something like that. That was, oh boy. And they didn't even have, and it was also the defensive header side of the game, and they didn't even, I don't even think they had many corners in that game. So it was just like, just every time Tuchel tries to explain why he includes Choupo, I just like, I don't know. I generally think it's just because he rescued Choupo's rep sorry, Choupo rescued Tuchel's reputation back in that 2020 Champions League round of 16 tie against, I think it was Atalanta, where in the second leg they were losing, and then Choupo comes on, and then suddenly he turns the game around. I think that's his sole contribution to Tuchel's career, and Tuchel has loved him ever since. They've been together since Mainz, actually. They actually do know
Yeah.
each other quite well, which is a weird thing.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be Tuchel choosing between Choupo and Muller, and I think most fans, even the fans who don't like Thomas Muller or think he's completely washed up, will say that, yeah, it should be Muller, especially since he scored against Cologne. So they can't even bring up the argument that he's not been lighting it up recently, which is quite interesting because it's not an argument that is brought up for any other player on the lineup, only Muller. But now that he scored against Cologne, that's an even stronger reason for him to start. And I hope he starts. I think he tactically, he offers a lot against Arsenal. And I don't know what you think about this, about Arsenal, as from the perspective of someone who watches them regularly, but I got the feeling that if you really attack the spaces between and around the center backs, you will get a lot of, like, you will get a few chances against this Arsenal team, because the center backs themselves, they're very good in possession and they're very good in structured defending, but they can be caught out. They can make mistakes. And we see how good Thomas Muller is at forcing mistakes and also pouncing on them and also doing things that are completely unexpected. I think this is a good game for him, potentially. Then again, I think that every game is a good game for Thomas Muller, so.
Well, you're preaching to the choir because I agree with you. But in terms of Arsenal's defense being basically more open than it seems in the Premier League, that is actually true. The problem in the Premier League is that Arsenal dominates to the extent, kind of like Pep's Bayern did, that those gaps are not exploited. That back four last season, it with some adjustments here and there, looked very, very prone to being attacked when Arsenal's confidence fell and the title dreams were basically dashed and Arsenal started dropping points game after game after game. While that defensive structure has been cleaned up more this season, Premier League teams have not been good enough to exploit them. And just as a comparison, going back to Pep's Bayern used to concede very few goals, but in
Yes.
one knockout tie against Barcelona, the Champions League, they conceded three on one night in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So they changed the way that they played and did not control possession that night to the extent that they can. And that impacted how the defense played. And that's true of Arsenal. The only issue that I can see is that going back to your point about Muller, I don't see Muller starting this game. I know that he would be the correct choice. And I feel like, especially the Allianz Arena, he gives the arena such boost. So yesterday I was just listening to the sound after Guerrero scores, and it's a nice loud sound. But with the Muller goal, you will notice there's an anticipation just before he hits the ball because everyone is waiting for it. And just the noise in the stadium after he scores, it's on a different decibel level than when anybody else scores for Bayern. And that kind of 12th man effect, Muller is actually somewhat part of that 12th man because it's just the sheer number of years that he's had at this club and his experience, and even Nagelsmann counted it on it last season. Like, I believe he
Eventually.
benched Muller for the first leg, for the first leg against PSG, and then he started him on the second leg, and Bayern's performance in the second leg was very different from the first. It was no longer, oh, we're holding on for dear life, but it was like, oh, we can win this and we can win this confidently and easily. So, and then Muller was benched for both legs against City. I don't even know if he played any minutes, maybe like the last 15 minutes of the second leg or the first leg, by which, that tie was basically effectively going nowhere. I think we were 3-0 down already when he was brought on. So, Bayern doesn't really have success without Muller in the Champions League, at least recently, even against Lazio. And going back to that Lazio game, the fans were so, so important. I heard on CBS commentary here that basically Bayern seemed nervous, and then the fans raised their volume, and the team drew energy from that, and they got better. Because Lazio started the better side in the
Yeah.
second leg in that tie. So, as unfortunate as it is, Choupo will start. Choupo will be very rusty too, because he has basically not played at all. And the other thing which makes me think that is that Muller played 90 minutes on Saturday. The reverse argument to this could be that, well, who was he going to bring on? Basically, most of the team is injured.
Chupo.
But yeah, and he did bring Choupo on, right? I
Oh
think
yeah,
Choupo
he
played in
did.
that game. Yeah,
Didn't
he
he?
brought
Yeah.
Choupo on. So I still, when it comes to Tuchel, I feel like that. So just going back to the cold 1-0, I think he started Choupo as a, and not because he thought necessarily that Choupo would win headers and whatnot, but he started Choupo to make a point in that game because he hadn't been sacked then. And his point was like, I can do whatever I want, and not one of you can say anything about it if you're unhappy. And he knew the press would ask him questions about this, the press would batter him about this, and the press did. But he did it just because he could. And unfortunately, that's still true in a different way. But Tuchel cares about his reputation here. And that's what makes me think that when it comes to a Champions League knockout, will he really start Choupo to prove a point? Or does he actually genuinely think that Choupo up top is going to be a better solution in this one? And no disrespect to Choupo-Moting, he can work very, very well in a balanced 4-2-3-1, as we saw last season, but also into your point about playing counter-attacking game. Yes, we have done it at the Allianz Arena before this season, but do you really think the fans will tolerate a counter-attacking game at home at the Allianz?
I think they would, as long as the goals come. If they try a counter-attacking game and it's all Arsenal domination, like literally 80% domination, they're peppering our shot on with our goal with shots, and they are like literally, just doing to us what we sometimes used to do to other teams back in the day before Tuchel was in charge, then I think that could take a lot of the wind out of their sails. But if it is something like what we saw against Stuttgart, which was a very disciplined performance where Bayern Munich were resolute and also very good up top and did score, in that case, I think the team will get the support of the fans, because in the end, the fans only want to see the team win, especially when it comes to a Champions League night. And there is something very entertaining about a properly executed defensive plan, right? It's not tiki taka. Tiki taka is very boring, but defensive football can be great if it is executed properly. If it is done ineptly and Bayern Munich concedes almost within a few minutes of starting, which is my biggest worry, that Bayern Munich will concede within 30 minutes of the game starting and Tuchel will have zero plan for what to do then, because his entire game plan will be based on scoring first or keeping the tie nil-nil as long as possible. But if Bayern concede in that, I think that will take a lot of the wind out of everyone's sails, including the team. And going back to your point about what Tuchel thinks, I don't think Tuchel does what he does to prove a point. I think he genuinely, these are the choices that he makes because he genuinely thinks these are what is best for the team, which is the problem here. If it was like what Nagelsmann did, when Nagelsmann clearly knew what was best for the team and had different ideas about what he wanted to do, then I would be more confident. I would know that if Nagelsmann were in charge next week, I know he would fix what was wrong with the first leg, because he's shown that he knows what is up with his team and what he can do to fix problems. Whereas Tuchel, I don't get that impression. I always get the impression that he has no idea what is going on with this team and what his talent is capable of. And therefore, whenever he puts a team out, it is pretty much his idea of what are the best players available, which is why Muller, pretty much as soon as our wingers come back from injury, he drops to the bench. And that is also the reason why I think he might start in the next game, is because not because Tuchel thinks that he is the right guy for the game at hand, but because he has not many other options.
I was just thinking to myself when Coman got injured against Cologne that this is almost the injury gods are funny in a sense because this is gearing up to be a situation where Tuchel is forced to play a more, I guess, a more pressing style of football with Muller in the side because with Muller in the side, the press is definitely going to be better. And actually, and let me go back to something on the in the first leg. The press was half-hearted, which is one of the reasons behind why, the Gabriel incident, while it should have been a penalty, was not given as a penalty because the
We
opposing
weren't
argument
pressing them at all.
was, yeah,
It was
exactly.
no advantage.
Exactly. What did you think of that half-hearted press? I've read within our comment section say it was a tactic, but what do you think?
I'm just not surprised, to be honest. There is a difference between the half-hearted press and the press that is low intensity. What we saw was half-hearted because the players were trying to press. They just didn't know really how to go about it. There were moments where they closed opponents down and they tried to get near the Arsenal players and close down their pressing lines, but it just didn't work out for them. So they just kind of stopped doing it and started to be more static. Whereas something like a low press, something that you often see some Italian teams do, and I think the best example of low press that I have ever seen, which is a press that you only initiate in the final third of the pitch, like the back third, right? Rather than something like a high press, which is something that you do high up the pitch, a low press you do closer to your goal. And the best example of that I have ever seen is Juventus versus Barcelona. I think it was a quarterfinal game where Allegri was in charge, and Allegri is a coach I despise. I hate his philosophy about football. I hate most of his tactics, but I cannot deny that he's absolutely brilliant as a coach. And if you watch that game, that is a clinic in how defensive football can be engaged in a manner that is still intense in a team that is not known for its intensity in terms of Juventus, because they had a press that kept space at a premium when their opponents Barcelona got into the final third. And as soon as Barcelona were in that final third and they didn't find any way to get through the press easily, they would always default, because they are a possession-based team, they would always default to try and recycle possession and try and go some other way or do some other thing. And because of that, they eventually lost the tie, because they just could not find that solution, because they were not direct enough to play through that press because of their team's tactical philosophy. That's something that could really work against Arsenal here, but it's simply not going to happen with Thomas Tuchel in charge, because Tuchel has not shown the desire to implement something like that at Bayern Munich. I understand that we're no longer playing high pressing flick ball anymore, but the lack of pressing is pretty much a feature of Tuchel's football. He doesn't like that type of football because he thinks that it creates too much risk, because it is risky. It is, you have the chance of creating a turnover, but if you don't create the turnover, you've just given your opponent a gigantic amount of space to run in at your goalkeeper. Flick, he was okay with that trade-off, but we know how many goals his team started conceding as soon as the press lost a little bit of its efficiency. So Tuchel here, he's made the calculus and he's decided, I don't want that. But despite that, the team itself does seem to want to press a little bit, and it seems to need a little bit of direction from somewhere, at least in terms of just the static structure of a press. And I think Thomas Muller can provide that handily, because when he is on the pitch, you can see him literally, even off the ball, he's always pointing around and telling everyone behind him where exactly and to run and which players to pressure to create the best opportunities for winning the ball back. And I think simply having that in front of them, taking that mental burden off some of our players, will be very valuable to them. And I think that's just another reason that Muller should play. I wish I could send this to Tuchel, honestly. Like, man, what are you doing? What are you doing as coach of Bayern Munich? We can't see all these important reasons that this one guy should play. Like, I'm not standing this guy for no reason. He's pretty important to our game, you know?
I always say this, no one sticks around at top level football and for this many years as a Bayern Munich player who plays pretty consistently every season without a very good reason. He's here because Bayern can find a replacement. Bayern's tried. It's not like
Yeah,
Bayern
very, very
hasn't.
hard. We
Yeah,
spent a lot of
very
money
difficult.
trying to find a replacement, but it just didn't work. Because how can you replace a guy that is genuinely a generational player? And as soon as we start treating him like that and let him do his thing, then maybe we could do better in the Champions League. Every year it feels like we have questions about Thomas Muller, and every year it becomes a big thing because people in the fan base realize why he's important. Some people, not everyone, but then coaches every time they have to come in and relearn that lesson. And Tuchel has so far been the most stubborn about learning this lesson. I don't know if he'll ever learn it, but at this point, I'm just too tired to like really think too hard about it. I just hope that he does play him in his usual position, and I hope that Bayern Munich wins. I hate that I have hope because, as I said, I don't want to be disappointed.
I know how it feels. With I will say about Tuchel, that the reason why, one of the reasons why, among the many reasons why, that he is getting sacked is down to that Muller conundrum again. No coach at Bayern Munich who does not see the value of a coach who does not see the value of Thomas Muller at Bayern Munich does not last. This is not new. That
And
being said,
yeah, speaking of coaches, right? I think we should take a short break here. And when we come back, we will talk about some of our recent coaching rumors, especially the rumor that Julian Nagelsmann could be on his way back to Bayern Munich and that he has begun negotiations or at least talking to the club again. Interesting topic. So please stay tuned. We will be back very soon after this short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, and in our mid-meeting break that we had where we were just laughing at Liverpool for losing to Crystal Palace, we just realized something. So, Samrin, why don't you do the honors?
Okay, so Arsenal plays Aston Villa today, and kickoff, we're recording just before kickoff, basically, same time as Bayer Leverkusen, and Arsenal's playing Aston Villa. The last time Arsenal played Villa, Arsenal had a lot of trouble dealing with Villa, and that was during Villa's excellent stretch where they had beaten Man City 1-0 as well, and they had something like 22 shots in that game. So this is a very tough game, and as of the time of recording, Liverpool lost their fixture 1-0 and Man City won during the weekend. So Arsenal's in this tight Premier League race. They're playing about just over 24 hours after Bayern. And so they'll have a day less of rest, and they'll have played a much tougher game. Arsenal really won't have the chance to rest anybody today. So that might have an impact on Wednesday in a bad way, because Arsenal will have had less rest, but might be in a good way, because if Arsenal wins today, they'll get a lot of confidence out of that game. So I don't know, Ian, could go either way.
That's basically what we have been saying all throughout, that there are many good reasons that Bayern Munich might win, many good reasons that Arsenal could win, but it is a total toss-up at the moment, and I hold to my 20% chance predictor, because I'm not enthused about this game, and I really want to talk about something else, which thankfully we have, which is the fact that as of rumors on this day, which is the 14th of April, which is when we are recording, it seems that Bayern Munich are back to wanting Julian Nagelsmann. I have opinions about this, but first of all, I want to ask you, Samrin, what are your opinions on getting Nagelsmann back? First of all, are you surprised? Second, how do you think he'd do in a second go-around?
I am a little bit surprised, because in all these years that I have known this club, Bayern does not swallow their pride easily. I don't even remember when Uli Hoeneß said this, but he basically said that firing Jupp Heynckes was one of the biggest mistakes of his career. He did this back in the 90s, like 1991, I want to say. And look at when Jupp came back. Jupp came back in the late 2000s. That's how long it took for that sequence to happen. So if this is like 20 years after Nagelsmann gets fired, okay, I see it. But this is early. I also think that internally, everyone at Bayern thinks the Tuchel hiring has been a huge mistake. They won't come out and say it. They will blame the players to an extent. They will stand behind Tuchel till the end of the season. But we know, with reports coming out from here and there and everywhere, basically, that there's a reason behind why Tuchel's been fired. There's a reason why they didn't wait till the end of the season to fire him. And I think the board genuinely sees the Nagelsmann firing in that light now, and that's making them turn around. Also, I think the other legitimate option really was Hansi Flick, and it seems like with Uli around, that's not going to happen. So with Flick not happening, it was not going to be De Zerbi or Zidane. We'll get to those two. That left just Nagelsmann, and Nagelsmann's recent work with the DFB probably led to more confidence at Bayern. In terms of how I see it go, I think it'll go pretty well, actually. I think Nagelsmann learned important lessons in his first season here. But also, I think Nagelsmann, at the end of the day, is deeply rooted in Bayern Munich. He loves this club. And it's easy to forget that in light of what happened and in the decisions that he made, because he just couldn't help himself but change things. But he'll be smarter this time. And I don't really care about anything else, but I just want to see this team go back to playing good football and under Nagelsmann, because like you said, he always did know the best lineup. He played some brilliant football at times, and I'd just like to see it come back. How about you, Ian?
I'm not particularly surprised that you're back in this Nagelsmann quagmire, because frankly, ever since it was revealed that Bayern Munich are sacking Tuchel but letting him stay until the end of the season, I've realized that this board is completely out of ideas about who to hire, and they are just going around in circles trying to think of some options. That is why everything else has been put on hold. We have no real progress on stuff like contract extension talks, which should be very important at this stage of the season. And also, we keep getting reports from the media that pretty much every coach who plays half decent football in Europe is being under consideration. There was even Arne Slot, who is at Feyenoord or something. I don't even watch Eredivisie. If we had Siler on this, we could ask him about him, and he will say that, of course, Arne Slot is the best coach to have graced this part of the world in the last 25 years.
Greatest
But,
ever.
well, maybe not greatest ever, but still, Siler would be probably
Siler would say
very,
that.
very, yeah, he would say that he's probably amazing and he would make Bayern Munich a super team that will get knocked out of the Champions League quarterfinal just as easily as we are now. But the thing is that we are getting all these rumors because the board doesn't have a candidate finalized. They wanted to get Xabi from Leverkusen, and Xabi ruled himself out. Luckily, he ruled himself out by saying that he wouldn't go anywhere, which means that later on down the line, we can maybe come back and get him. This leaves certain options open, which is making the job for the board even harder. They have the option of maybe waiting a year and then coming back for Xabi later, which is worrying because it means to me that there is a small, not impossible chance that Tuchel might stick around, or something like we could get something like Nagelsmann coming in, but not being given as long a contract, and then later the board sort of upgrading to Xabi if they think that Nagelsmann is still doing the things that got him fired the first time. And there are a myriad of options in between. I am not even at this stage ruling out the possibility that Nagelsmann could coach Germany and Bayern at the same time. Because to be perfectly honest, how different could it be? Like, it's just that he won't get his routine skiing trips in the international breaks, which might even be an advantage for him, considering. Like, I see a lot of options, but the problem is that the reason we have all these options up is because the board doesn't have a vision. And the last time the board didn't have a vision about who would take over, we ended up with Niko Kovac. And I think we are not very far off from entering that kind of situation where it's summer, the coaching options have dried up. We don't know who we are getting because of who we don't know who we're getting. We can't finalize any contract extensions. We can't finalize any new incoming transfers. And it gets dragged out and out and out. And well, it becomes disastrous. That being said, I am not against Nagelsmann coming back. I have my misgivings about him, and they haven't disappeared from me even after recent events. I think the reaction to the last international break is a little bit too positive, okay? Because, well, it was a good international break by Germany, but let's not forget the break right preceding that and the fact that Nagelsmann is the kind of guy that really tinkers. Like, there is no guarantee that the next time Germany take to the pitch, they're going to be as good as they were against France and the Netherlands. That is the entire point. This current round of Nagelsmann stocks being very high is based on that recent set of games. And right before that, if you had said bring back Nagelsmann, people would have laughed at you because the most recent memory of Nagelsmann is always about the most recent game. I think it's lacking in perspective, and I think that the board itself is showing a lack of perspective by considering Nagelsmann at this stage. This is not to say that Nagelsmann would be a bad hire. It just says bad things about the board, about the procedures they have in place, and the way they are going about this coaching search. I just do not enjoy it.
I agree. It really does show a lack of vision to go back to the last guy you fired for this guy who didn't work out so quick. I really think the best option would have been Flick. And I really wish Uli would swallow his pride on this. And I wouldn't rule Flick out because I feel like the less we hear about someone, the more likely it happens with Bayern. There's been so many transfers in the past in this club where you haven't heard a word and suddenly there's a new player and you're like, huh, what's going on? And it turns out to be a brilliant deal. I can still see Flick, like, because I don't think Nagelsmann will take anything less than a guarantee of maybe at least 2 seasons in charge after what happened last time. And I also, like you, do think that the results from the international break, as good as it was, are a little bit outlandish because think about it, right? The Netherlands game, Nicolas Foulkrou scores very, very late. The ball just about crosses the line. If the ball does not cross that line in the game, would we still have the same kind of reaction to that international break? So there's something to be said about that. Although both the performances were good, I would wait till the Euros to really, really look at Nagelsmann's tenure as Germany boss as a whole. But I think he kind of does deserve a second chance, not because of his first season, but because of how things ended in his second season, generally in all three competitions. And I do think that if Nagelsmann had stayed, not that we would have gone past Man City, but we definitely would have had a much better chance of getting past City because Muller would have played.
Well, maybe.
So I think he would have, because I think Nagelsmann learned in that PSG tie the importance of Muller, which is why Muller started that second leg. And I think Muller started the following game against Bayer Leverkusen too. And Nagelsmann does not play Muller regularly for Germany because of the Gundogan conundrum. But at the same time, it is worth noting that Muller is part of the team council, and he's basically bent on taking Muller to the Euros no matter what. Now, you put Tuchel there. I don't think Tuchel takes Muller to the Euros at all, because Tuchel generally does not see his value. But Nagelsmann does see his values beyond the pitch, and Muller is often the first substitute off the pit, onto the pitch when Germany's in trouble. So I think it would be nice to have a coach who's been through this, who's learned the importance of Muller, and who comes into the club that way. Because Nagelsmann's tried the Musiala in the middle thing, and he knows it didn't work. And he doesn't do it for Germany exactly like that either. It's more versatile in Germany.
Okay, I can accept that. I don't necessarily agree, but what my disagreements are, everyone knows, and I have already expressed them. What do you think about the other options? What do you think about Zinedine Zidane?
I am intrigued because, especially because of the interest that Zidane allegedly showed toward the role. But I think Bayern needs a safe option right now. At the same time, Zidane is a very good man manager, at least from his time at Real Madrid. And Zidane may have actually provided that calmness that's needed in the dressing room after a disastrous spell with Tuchel. So, in that sense, Zidane might have been a good option. I just think him not speaking German, and I don't think Zidane speaks English either, actually. Those
Yeah.
things just work against him. What do you think?
I think that Zidane would be a disaster for Bayern Munich, not because he's a bad manager, he might be, who knows, but because even Real Madrid fans who love Zidane, who worship Zidane's tripit in the Champions League, even though we know certain circumstances went into that, and also his comeback, and it's again another Champions League win. Even though they worship him, they still call him a tactical banana. And this is the fan base that loves him. I think because of that, Zidane would not work out at Bayern Munich because Bayern Munich does not do well with the type of coaches who are less about tactics and more about man management. We saw it with Carlo Ancelotti. Ancelotti at Real Madrid, he can sort of just put his hands in his pockets, keep the dressing room calm and focused, and he can get performances out of them. He couldn't do that at Bayern Munich. There was a higher expectation of instruction from the coach. And in fact, that is particularly what Tuchel is running into as a problem here. It seems that Bayern Munich have bought and created a squad that expects a certain degree of input from the coach in regards to how they should play. And if you don't get a manager who can provide that input, someone like Nagelsmann, Pep, Flick, guys who will essentially try to micromanage everything their players do on the pitch. If you don't get that kind of coach, then the team will fall short of its goals and just not be able to function because they are not good at improv, you know? Whereas compare that to a team like Real Madrid, who are very good when you let them be free and do their own thing. It's a very different type of squad philosophy, and that's why I don't think Zidane would be good for us. The thing is that this is something that you can't change. Zidane could learn German. He could learn English. He could use an interpreter, but he's not going to change his fundamental ideas about football and how he coaches his team. And because of that, while Zidane could probably come in maybe win a Bundesliga, probably not with Xabi's Leverkusen the way it is, but in an average year, he might win a Bundesliga and might be successful, semi-successful in the Champions League, just thanks to what the squad is capable of as a unit. We don't want to go down that path again where we just rely on the players to bail us out. We've already been through this with Tuchel, and we need a type of coach who can really squeeze the performances out of these players. We need a coach that elevates the team rather than a team that continues to be elevating the coach and keeping him from being fired.
And which is why I think Bayern actually does not. So I think Bayern also benefits from a certain degree of freedom because there are automatisms that Tuchel's kind of actually destroyed that were built into this team already. A lot of them have been together for a long time. At the same time, they do need a style of football that lets them express themselves, but they also know their roles clearly. So that being said, not Zidane, and I don't think De Zerbi would be a good
Yeah,
option either.
neither
But
do
yeah,
I.
go ahead and why
Yeah, I
not?
don't think he would be any good option simply because he hasn't taken on this type of job before. And Bayern Munich is the type of job that chews up coaches, even experienced ones like Pep say that it was the toughest job he ever had. And this is not the kind of job you want to step into as a foreign manager without the clout in the Bundesliga. And you also do not want to step into it right after someone like Thomas Tuchel is leaving the squad in the state that it is. The crazy part is that even with all that Tuchel's done, we are still in the running for a major trophy this season. It's not very likely, as I keep saying, and as I made abundantly clear in the first part of this podcast, I do not think Bayern Munich is going to get past Arsenal. But like the fact that we are still in it shows the level of the squad and the level that we expect to be at. And I do not think that De Zerbi is ready for that step up. There are many levels between Bayern Munich and Brighton, not just in terms of squad, in terms of pressure, but also in terms of what De Zerbi will have to deal with at the board level and at the media level and at pretty much everything top to bottom, really. It's just such a different beast. And Bayern Munich, I think, cannot afford to take that gamble when it comes to a permanent coaching hire. You can take a gamble like that if you are hiring an interim coach, which is the kind of gamble that we took with Hansi Flick, for example. But you cannot do that when you are giving out potentially a 3 to 5 year contract. I hope it's not a 5 year contract for someone who is ideally going to shape the squad going forward and is probably going to make or break our upcoming era of football.
I think a long-term contract would be such a bad idea because I actually think Bayern needs a bit of a transition before going from this to, oh, we need everything to be new. Because it feels like the club almost needs to be reminded that the talent that they have is not that bad. And then, yes, there needs to be a few changes and adjustments. And yes, the team's average age has gone up and up and up. Obviously, this team has been together for a very long time. But I really think whoever takes over needs to have that calming presence of a Heinkes, of a Flick, a Xabi Alonso. And Nagelsmann is not exactly that. He can be disruptive, but I think he has matured. And I think there are some lessons he learned when he was from when he was here last time. And that added maturity might just make him the middle ground that's good enough to have that sense of maturity where he can handle the personalities at the club because he wasn't hated.
No, he
I
was
feel
actually
like
quite liked in the dressing room. And
exactly.
the only person who didn't
Exactly.
like him was Lewandowski, left to Barcelona. The thing is, will you still say this if Nagelsmann flops at the Euros, if he goes back to his usual thing, changes lineups, this, that, and the other thing, and the Euros are disastrous for Germany, will you still think of him as a good candidate?
Not really, but I don't think of Nagelsmann as a brilliant candidate right now. I just want to see some good football in. And we saw some good things under him. And I'm desperate to see a team that doesn't play counter-attacking, that actually knows what to do with the ball and whatnot. And Nagelsmann's teams actually do know that. And I think Nagelsmann was extremely hampered by that World Cup. I will give him that. Because before that, Bayern was playing some brilliant football for 8 games straight. It was like 6-0, 5-0, 4-0, just again and again and again. And they looked like they could beat anybody. And just as the team was kind of on a recovery curve coming back, he got fired because Bayern was second in the Bundesliga. Well, Tuchel is 16 points behind the first place team who are just getting out on the pitch to win the title today. And, Tuchel is still regarded as one of the most brilliant tacticians out there. Oh my goodness. But
Well, he did it in the Premier
he,
League, so.
oh yeah, of course, he did it in the Premier League.
Where did Tuchel finish in the Premier
Man.
League? I don't even know.
I think
Did he finish
11th,
fourth?
right?
No, he
No.
that was Potter, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Potter after Potter. That was Potter. I don't think did Tuchel make top
Yeah,
four? I think they qualified.
he did make top four because he was, did he make top? I don't even know. I don't even remember, to be
I
honest.
don't
Like,
think he did. I think Chelsea came
surely
in because of winning
they
Champions League.
yeah, the Champions League, right? Who knows, man? I don't care about the Premier League like Tuchel does, and I'm not even.
It shows.
Yeah, and look, when I was younger, I used to watch like pretty much every Premier League and Bundesliga game. Nowadays, I am so busy. I cannot do that. And even tonight, I don't think I'm gonna. I might watch Arsenal versus Aston Villa until the first Arsenal goal goes in. You know, maybe I could do that. But why
I
would I
suggest you
subject
watch
myself?
Leverkusen. It's good
I
football.
won't watch. No, I'm not interested. I'm the look, this is one thing where Tuchel got it right. He was asked before the game.
Wow,
He was
just
asked before,
wow.
listen to this. He was asked before the game, which team are you going to watch Leverkusen's title winning game against Werder Bremen? And he said, "No, I'm going to watch Arsenal." And normally I would be like, "Man, that is so arrogant." But I thought, "Okay, Tuchel, you win this
It
one
makes
because I
sense,
agree with
actually.
you because I could not care less what Leverkusen is doing right now. I would rather watch Arsenal. Technically, I would rather take a nap, but 9 p.m. is probably a little bit early for a nap. So I may have to subject myself to that, especially since I thought that KKR would be playing in the IPL this evening, but it turns out that they played in the afternoon when I was asleep. So
Oh,
I
no.
missed a very dominant win by KKR in the IPL this year. So, okay,
Man,
it's not going so well. I
you don't have the
think,
luxury to miss good
yeah,
games, and you
I don't have the
don't.
luxury to miss any games, to be honest, because like I miss games most of the time anyway. I'm so busy. It's doing terrible things to my health.
I'm sure, and
Yeah.
Tuchel is
Yeah,
helping with
my
that.
body is like Bayern Munich. It's just taking one injury after the other. But I think we can leave it there because we have discussed these two topics as in-depth as we needed to. And given the state of Bayern Munich, we could be, well, by next week, these topics will feel completely archaic and completely irrelevant because
We'll have new
God knows what
problems.
will, yeah, exactly. New problems will crop up and new things will crop up to talk about. It's very rare that we even talk about the topic for 2 weeks in a row. So I guess that's about it. So Samrin, you do the outro because I've forgotten what we need to say.
That's the state of in and Bayern Munich right now. But as always, everyone, be sure to visit Bavarian Football Works for all of your up-to-date news about Bayern Munich and Germany. You can follow us on Twitter at Bavarian FB Works. You can find Chuck at the Barrel Blog. You can find in where can they find you in on Twitter?
At BFWINNN.
And of course, you can find the rest of us all on the site. So come read, listen, argue, put your heart out there because these sorrows need to go somewhere. This has been I Need No Name and Samrin. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful evening.